Now, I remember at the very end of the governor's race, we were asked on statewide TV, the very last question we were asked was the easiest question we've been asked all year long. We've been asked about roads and all these other topics. This was the easiest question. We were asked, what was the single most important moment in your life? I smiled when they asked me that question. I said, that's easy. It's the moment that I found Jesus Christ. And I'm here to... I actually corrected my answer. I said, it was actually the moment that Christ found me. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about that story. You see, when I was a child, I always believed in God. I can't remember a moment in my life when I didn't believe in God. But when I was a child, I had a childlike faith in God. And maybe you remember that kind of faith. For me, it was, you know, dear God, I'll behave if you'll give me one more toy. Or, God, you know, I'll even be good to my younger brother if I could just have an A in history tomorrow. Or I won't ask you for anything else. I was always making a series of deals with God, and I always had these series of broken promises. It was almost like I thought God wouldn't remember from one day to the next the deals I was making with him. If it hadn't been for my best friend, my faith in God may have stayed that way. I remember going to school one day, and my best friend coming up to me. And he said something that I still remember to this day. He was walking by me, stopped in my bus seat, and he looked at me and said, Bobby, I sure do feel sorry for you, and he kept on walking by me. And I thought, that's a strange thing for him to say. I said, come back, tell me why do you feel sorry for me? Was my shirt inside out? Did I do something wrong? And he said, no. He had just come back from summer break, and he said, I feel sorry for you because when my family and I, when we're up in heaven, I'm going to miss you when you're not there. And he kept on walking. He had been to a summer Bible study camp where his preacher, his pastor, had emphasized the importance of sharing his faith with others. Now, I don't want you all to leave church and tell your neighbors you're going to feel sorry for them when they're not in heaven the way that you're going to be. But I didn't realize. I thought my friend was crazy at the time, but God had planted the seed. Now, a little bit later, that same best friend and I were exchanging Christmas gifts. And I want to tell you about this friend. He was one of those kids in school that was the most popular kid in school. Always wore the newest clothes. Always listened to the most popular music. Everybody wanted to sit next to him at lunch. Always the first one picked for every sports team. And he was my best friend. And so every year we'd exchange Christmas gifts, and every year I'd get something nice, meaning something expensive, from him. And every year I was excited about whatever I'd get. Well, I remember that year as I was opening the gift in front of him, how disappointed I was. If you've ever tried to give a child underwear for Christmas, you'll know just how disappointed I was when I opened his gift. As I opened it, I realized it wasn't a piece of music or clothing or anything else, but it was a book. And my disappointment grew when I realized not only was it a book, just any book, my best friend in the world had given me a copy of the Bible for Christmas. And I thought, who in the world buys people Bibles for gifts? You can get them for free in a hotel. Why would you buy one of these things? Oh, it was the silliest gift you could imagine. But he was smart. On the front page, it was just a simple black paperback Bible. It was one of those student Bibles you can get in almost any bookstore, NIV Bibles. It had my name in gold lettering, Bobby Jindal, on the front page. So I couldn't even return it for all I wanted, or exchange or give it to somebody else. I wanted to take my gift back, but I didn't. Threw his gift in a closet, didn't really open it, didn't realize it, but God was planting a seed. Now, a little while later, I began to get a little older and grew up, hadn't really thought about these things. You know, I've got two beautiful children at home, and it's amazing how your life changes when you have children. My wife and I are so blessed, but it's also amazing how your parents' life changed. My parents went from being the strictest parents in the world to the most lenient grandparents you've ever met. It's amazing how that happens. It's like a gene gets turned off. My mom wouldn't let me drink soda in the house growing up. She'll give my daughter ice cream for dinner and say, oh, it's got milk in it, it'll be good for her. Well, my grandfather was the same way to me. You know, he was my favorite person in the world. Growing up, he was who I wanted to be when I grew up. He was my definition of what it meant to be a man. You know, he could get me out of trouble. He could give me ice cream for dinner. He could jog farther than anybody else I knew. He was what I wanted to be when I grew up. Now, like most kids, I never thought about getting older or getting sicker or what happened after this life. I was completely unprepared. I remember the day my mom came into my room to tell me one day that her father, my grandfather, my beloved grandfather, had just suddenly died in his sleep. I had a stroke one day. One day he was there, next day he was gone. Never went to the hospital. Never got sick. I never had a chance to say goodbye. It was the first time I'd ever been confronted by death, especially the death of a loved one. I was obviously very saddened by it and grieved, but I also got to be very curious and a little bit frightened, to be honest with you. I had no idea what happened after you died. And I began to wonder what was important in life. I wonder if my grandfather went to heaven. I wonder if I'm going to heaven. I wonder how you get into heaven. I wonder if you have to be good 100% of the time to get into heaven. I wonder if God grades on a curve. Can you be good just 51% of the time? Do you have to be rich to get into heaven? You know, does God care whether you're a millionaire or not? How much money does it take to get into heaven? Does it really matter your job title? How do you get there? And so out of just desperation, I finally picked up that Bible and started reading. Now, this would be a great story if I could just tell you that I had an epiphany, but it wasn't that simple. And you think about it, if you don't know anything about a book, if somebody gives it to you, what do you do? I just opened it to the front page and started reading. And there were some very inspiring parts in there. There were parts in the Old Testament that I recognized. You know, I read about the Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel. I thought, quite frankly, those were Disney stories. I had no idea those were religious stories. I'd heard them, but nobody ever explained them to me. There were some boring parts. There are all these lists. So-and-so begat so-and-so. I couldn't keep up with the names. I thought, how in the world am I going to remember all this? I was mostly confused. I had no idea what I was reading. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking that Christians worshipped fish. I'd see all these fish symbols on the back of cars, and I knew there was something special, so I was waiting for the Bible to explain it to me, and I didn't find that. I didn't realize. I put away the Bible at some point out of frustration, but God had planted another seed. And I had all these questions and all these doubts. I had one pastor actually remark to a friend of mine locally. He said, you know, I don't know that Bobby's ever going to become a Christian. He's got so many doubts. He's got so many questions. I don't know if he'll ever really believe. And one of the reasons I'm so excited to share with you my testimony is I want you to think about that person in your life, maybe a neighbor, a colleague at work, maybe a brother-in-law, maybe just somebody you know who you think, I don't know if they'll ever come to church. I don't know if they'll ever believe. I was that person to my friends. And it was just so many times we put limits on God and say, oh, he'll never bring that person to church. That person will never come to believe. And I was that person to my friends. It's amazing how God can use whatever is in our lives to bring us closer to him. Now, I was a normal teenager, a normal high school boy, so God used what I was most interested in to get my attention. He used a teenage girl to bring me closer to him. Now, there was a very attractive girl in my high school that I very much wanted to get to know. And I remember one day we were at a high school event all day, and I was determined to try to get a chance to meet her and talk with her. And all day long, nothing worked. There was always somebody else getting in the way. There was always a distraction. I was about to give up hope. At the end of the day, there was just the two of us left. I don't know where everybody else had gone to, but we finally had a chance to talk. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where the anticipation actually met the experience. You really were looking forward to a vacation or to a meal or something, and it turns out to be that good. That's what this conversation was like. I'd been looking forward to this, and it turned out to be a great, great conversation. We got to be good friends, and I was asking all the normal questions. You know, tell me about your parents and your grandparents and all those things. We were talking about that. I asked her a very simple question. I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I went to a public high school in Louisiana. If you'd asked most kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? They might have told you, well, we want to go and become an astronaut or a policeman or a fireman or a teacher or a nurse or something like that. That would have been a normal answer. Her answer kind of surprised me a little bit. I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I remember exactly the way she said it. She said, I want to become a United States Supreme Court justice. I thought, who in the world would, I mean, why would you want to dream of, who, your dreams of becoming that? And that sounds like an odd thing. And I said, why do you want to do that? I still remember the way she told me her answer. She said, I want to stop the Holocaust in America. I remember thinking, I got an A in American history. She's completely wrong. What is she talking about? And of course, she was talking about protecting innocent human life. And I sat there listening to her. I remember having two thoughts. One was, I just want to talk to a pretty girl. How do we talk about something so serious? I never thought about these kinds of things. But secondly, there was a peace and there was a love that she had that I knew that I wanted. At the time, I had no idea what it was. All I could tell you was that she had this love for other people she'd never met. It was so captivating. I just remember now realizing, but then just thinking, not knowing what it was, that I wanted that. I had so many questions and doubts, and here was this young girl that seemed to have this peace about her. And now I realize it was the Holy Spirit working with her. And at that time, I had prayed desperately to God. I made another deal with God. I said, God, just let me know who you are. Let me know how to worship you. And if you give me those things, I won't ask you for anything else. You'll have blessed me more than I could ever ask you for. And I was just, again, I was just trying to make deals with God. And about that time, she planted a seed in my life without knowing it. About that time, my best friend invited me to come listen to him sing. He was singing in a church musical. I said, I'll come do that. And it was around Easter time. And as I was sitting there in the church listening to the performance, they stopped at midway. And a youth pastor came out and showed a little black and white film. And, I've seen these movies before, but for some reason, it really struck me that time. There was no fancy actors or production. It was a black and white film. And as I saw the actor playing Jesus, carrying the cross up the hill, it all of a sudden just hit me. I had all these questions and all these doubts, and it hit me right then and there. If the Son of God, if Jesus Christ truly died on that cross because of me, because of Bobby Gentle, not because he died for everybody, but because he died because of my sins, what I did and what I didn't do, how arrogant for me to do anything but to get on my knees and to worship him. It was that simple. I mean, all of a sudden, it was all those doubts and questions and years of praying. It came down to something that simple. And at the end of the film, at the end of the musical, the youth pastor said, if anybody here doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, please fill out a card. I want to get to know you better. And I want to share with you the Gospels. And so I filled out a card and I got to know him. We started meeting. First it was every week, and then it was almost every day. And we started reading the Bible together. And it was an amazing thing that happened. I love books. And I read and collect all kinds of books. But I've never read anything like that. As we were reading the New Testament together, the words jumped off the page. It was like this book had been written just for me. It was like Jesus, across all those centuries, was saying to me, if you really want to follow me, this is all you have to do. You see, our world will tell you one of two things. Our world will tell you, you're good enough. What are you worried about? What are you so guilty about? You haven't killed anybody. Don't worry about it. Don't feel this guilt. You know, just you'll be fine. You're better than your neighbors. What are you feeling so bad about? I knew that wasn't true. I knew my heart. I knew that that wasn't sufficient. Or our world tells you this. If you're not perfect, if you keep making mistakes, just try a little harder. Get a little more education. You won't do as badly next time. I don't know about you. I was born and raised in Louisiana. I haven't met any perfect people yet. And I figure if God was going to put perfect people, he'd put them in Louisiana before anybody anywhere else. So if we don't have perfect people here, they're certainly not anywhere else. I've met a lot of forgiven people. And here was something different. Here was the Gospels. Here was God saying something completely different, saying, I know you're not perfect. I know you've sinned. And it's okay because of what my son did for you on the cross. What an amazing message. The reason it was so easy for me in that debate to say this was the most important moment of my life. And I've been blessed. A beautiful wife, two beautiful children. And still, the most important moment of my life is when Christ found me. And I'll share this with you for just two simple reasons, and then I'm done. One is to encourage you to plant seeds. I couldn't stand before you today if I didn't have friends brave enough to plant seeds in my life. My best friend in the world told me, I'm going to miss you when you're not in heaven. Gave me a Bible for Christmas. A little girl in high school had the courage. She didn't know if she was going to risk ridicule or become unpopular. Had the courage to say, this is my life's dream. So my encouragement to you is it took me over 7 years, 7 years to accept Christ from that first moment. And so my encouragement to you is to continue to plant seeds. We're not always called to reap. We are called to sow. The second thing, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, is where Jesus tells us, he promises us, if you're not embarrassed of me here on earth, I won't be embarrassed when you come to my Father's throne above. Now, we're promised opportunities to be fools for Christ, fools for God. And I'm here to encourage you in that, but also thank you. After I accepted Christ, I found out there were Christian communities all across town praying for me, people I'd never met before, people I didn't know, just me, a simple high school student. I didn't have a chance with all those people praying for me. And I'm here to say thank you. As a Christian community coming together every week to offer prayers for your brothers and sisters out there and to continue to plant seeds. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony, how God's been good to me and what he's done in my life. God bless you, and thank you for allowing me and Luke to be here.